We are in danger of losing our gratitude. Is it because we suffer from external deprivation? Certainly not. Most of us have more than enough, not only food, clothing, a house or apartment, but also many things we don't even need. Compared to many poor people, we are doing exceptionally well. Yet we find that the poor are often much more grateful and content than the rich or those who live in an affluent society. So it is not our circumstances that make us thankful. It is ultimately an attitude or a choice of the heart. Christians also had to learn this in early Christianity. Beware of discontent. It is remarkable how much contentment not only constitutes the happiness of a soul, but also goes hand in hand with holiness. There is hardly anything that disturbs our relationship with God and others as discontentment. It paves the way for all evil. On a large scale, it contributes to revolutions and other social upheavals. In smaller units, it upsets whole families and the inner attitudes of individuals like nothing else. It is no coincidence that the Holy Spirit mentions unthankful and unholy side by side, 2 Timothy 3-2. We also find that ingratitude can lead to idolatry. Not only did the pagans refuse to honor God, but they were also ungrateful and fell into all kinds of immorality. William Kelly. Few things are more important than cultivating a grateful heart and sanctifying the Lord in our hearts, 1 Peter 3:15. Trusting in His goodness and realizing that He has given everyone precisely what is best, but the only way to be content in all circumstances is to look to God for what He has done for us in Christ for all eternity. Burning hearts make us grateful. After these introductory thoughts, we turn to the 5 passages in Colossians that call for gratitude. As we can see from the epistle, the recipients of it were in danger of being taken as prey by certain elements of the world. In those days, it was philosophy, Jewish traditions, and superstition. Today, other elements may be a spiritual danger to us. If they are not after Christ, colon 2:8, that is, if they draw us away from Him, our hearts will grow cold. Then we should not be surprised if we become ungrateful. This was the case with the believers in Colossae. They were exposed to harmful influences and began to become insecure in their life of faith. Therefore, Paul sought to put their feet back on a firm foundation by focusing primarily on the revealed truth about Jesus Christ. This confirms that our gratitude as Christians always originates outside of ourselves, in God Himself and what He has done and is doing for us. By the way, selfishness is one of the greatest enemies of gratitude. 1. Give thanks for great blessings. We find the first indirect invitation in chapter 1. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Colossians 1:12-13. It is not Paul who gives thanks in the first place, but he wishes it for his addressees. Paul prayed for a worthy walk that would produce fruitful and growing results, but also an attitude of thanksgiving. And for what should the recipients of the epistle give thanks? The Father has given them a new divine life, enabling them to be in His presence outside of creation and grasp and enjoy eternal things. This inheritance or lot is not to be confused with the inheritance we will possess with Christ in the millennial kingdom, Romans 8:17, Ephesians 1:14, 18, Colossians 3:24. 1 Peter 1-4. The inheritance of which Paul speaks in Colossians 1 is not the kingdom, but the eternal portion of all believers in the time of grace in the immediate presence of God. This is particularly clear by referencing the saints in the light, Acts 26:18. Paul then describes a tremendous change. The Colossians used to belong to a sphere of authority characterized by darkness, where sin and the devil reigned. But now they, and we Christians today, are under a completely different authority. We are in the kingdom of the Son of His love. There, where our Lord is the epitome of the Father's love, we serve the Son. There, love rules and dominates everything. The love that has always existed between the Father and the Son has now turned to us. Do we not have many reasons to thank God, our Father, daily? 2. Overflowing with thanksgiving in faith. We find the second indirect invitation in chapter 2. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Colossians 2-7. The believers in Colossae had believed in Christ, but some men wanted them to think that the life of faith needed to be deepened by other elements. No, just as they had received and been taught the Lord Jesus, they should continue to walk in Him and be rooted and built up in Him, Colossians 2-6. It is also essential to be established in the deposit of faith. We need to know and appreciate it, to be overflowing in it. We should not forget that the revelation of the faith is a great gift for which we should thank God from the bottom of our hearts, and this should also come from our lips as a prayer of thanksgiving. The more we give thanks for spiritual blessings, the more we will appreciate and possess these gifts very practically, and the less contact points the world has to attack us. 3. Gratitude helps us to live together. Now, we come to a specific appeal in the practical part of the epistle. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Colossians 3:15. The context in which this verse is written makes it clear that the focus is on believers working together, cf. One another, and mutual in verses Padimundra, Padinara. And because many conflicts can arise in interpersonal relationships, qualities such as humility, gentleness, and long-suffering are of great importance. Colossians 3:12. Love is also mentioned, which is the bond of perfection. Colossians 3:14. Finally, Paul speaks of the peace of Christ, which should first and foremost characterize us personally. Peace in all circumstances is what characterized Christ. This peace should be the basis for decisions in all our life situations. Furthermore, we are called to this peace in one body. We can well imagine this. The limbs and organs of the human body never work against each other, but always with each other. Everything is in perfect harmony unless the body is sick. Starting from the head, Christ, we receive many blessings from each other as members of the one body. Are we thankful? Do we thank the brothers and sisters in the faith whom the Lord has placed at our side? Indeed, there is much to criticize in the people of God, and rightly so, but I must be characterized by personal gratitude if I want to contribute to the positive. A discontented attitude would only disrupt the fellowship of believers and never heal it. How vital then is the call, be thankful. 4. Giving thanks. An essential attitude. Shortly after the specific exhortation to be thankful, the apostle again mentions thanksgiving as a way of life. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Colossians 3:17. This is a verse for everyday life, but it has a lot to offer and makes us think. Everything we say and do should not only be in agreement with the Lord, even if it is sometimes difficult for us, but should also be done in His name. We speak and act as His representatives. What a great responsibility and what a great privilege. Who else could fulfill this claim if not those equipped to do so? Chosen, holy and beloved, Colossians 3:12. And the more we think about the grace God has given us in Christ, the more we will thank our Father. Do we? 5. Do not forget to give thanks when you pray. The final call to gratitude or thanksgiving is related to our prayer life. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2. It is incredible how often the New Testament reminds us to pray. This is necessary because we tend to take things into our own hands instead of letting God guide and give us gifts. Those who pray seek communion with God and, at the same time, express that they depend on God and His help, although it does not always have to be about us and our needs. The very next verse shows how necessary it is to pray for others, for servants in the Lord's work, Colossians 4:3. Beyond that, there are many prayer requests, even for all men, 1 Timothy 2:1. Praying is quite simple and should be natural for every believer. The challenge, however, is to be persistent in prayer. It is also essential to be vigilant. This means not to use vain repetitions, Matthew 6:7, or slip into general lectures, but praying consciously and specifically. And let us not forget, with thanksgiving. This does not only apply to prayer requests that God has already answered. Of course, we should also thank Him for that. But for all our requests, let us remember how much has been given to us without us even having prayed for it. There are many reasons to give thanks, from salvation and heavenly blessings to family, health, and work. And if we are still waiting for a prayer to be answered, even then we can thank God that He always means well to us and loves us without end.